This episode of Dean Bakari's Meaningful Show is brought to you by Flashbooks, where you can get best-selling business and self-improvement book summaries that you can read or listen to in under 20 minutes. To learn more and get started for just a buck today, visit www.getflashnotes.com. Welcome to the Meaningful Show podcast, where every single week we work to bring you an inspiring insight, idea, or interview to help you live better, work better, and be better both in life and in business. Brought to you by MeaningfulHQ.com, we've got one very simple goal here on this show, and that is to help you do more of what matters and less of what doesn't. I'm your host, Dean Bakari, and if you're ready, then I'm ready. So let's get into it. Bronnie Ware is a nurse who spent several years working in palliative care, where she took care of patients that were nearing the end of their lives, the last 12 weeks of their lives, to be precise. And over the years, as she took care of these people, she's been doing it for a while, and she listened to their stories, she found that many of them had some serious regrets about the way they chose to live their lives. And she also noticed a pattern in these regrets. When she asked her patients about any regrets that they had or anything they might have done differently with their lives had they been given the chance, common themes began to arise again and again and again. So she began to write them down. And this eventually led to a best-selling book called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. And it's very powerful. It's something that I read many years back and something I think about quite regularly that I like to remind myself about on a regular basis as I move about my day. And so in this episode, I'm going to break down each of these 5 regrets for you. And the idea behind it is, the purpose behind it is that we learn from this because this is wisdom. If you have your whole life ahead of you, then why not learn what the common patterns and themes are with people who are close to the end of their lives? What would they have done differently? What would they have thought about more? How would they have moved about their own lives with more purpose, more passion, in a different way? So let's dive in to these 5 regrets of the dying, the top 5 regrets of the dying. Number one is, I wish I had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. And a quote from the book to describe this one is that this was the most common regret of all. And she writes about how when people realize that their life is almost over and they look back clearly on it, it's easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most people had not honored even a half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to choices they had made or not made. Health brings a freedom very few realize until they no longer have it. That was number one. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Number two, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. This came from every male patient that she nursed. She writes that they missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Women, she writes, also spoke of this regret. But as most were from an older generation, many of the female patients, of course, had not been breadwinners back in the day. It's not like it was today back when she was doing this work and taking care of this generation. And so all of the men that she nursed deeply regretted, she writes, spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of a work existence. So the question here is, I think it's very important to work hard. I think it's very powerful, but are we working as hard in our personal lives as we are in our professional lives, especially when it comes to our families, our health, our well-being, our spiritual well-being? We want to work as hard at maintaining those areas of our lives as we do at maintaining our careers and our professional lives. Number three, the third regret of the dying is, I wish I had the courage to express my feelings. A lot of people suppressed their feelings in order to keep peace with others. That's a note that she makes in the book. And as a result, she says, they settled for a mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Many of these people developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment that they carried as a result. Do you have the courage to express your feelings fully when you feel them, to feel those feelings and then to express those feelings? Are you holding back in some area of your life and from telling somebody something, from sharing the way that you feel about something? Are you not even talking to people because of this? Because you couldn't express the way that you feel to them. Maybe somebody hurt you and you decided never to talk to them again, but you know you love this person. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a close friend and that relationship is severed just because of some disagreement or some fight or because one of you held back your feelings about something. So I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. That's number three. The fourth regret of the dying is this. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. Often, these people, they would not truly realize the full benefits of old friends until their dying weeks. And it was not always possible to track them down. They're about to die. They can't make peace with their old friends. They can't get in touch with them. They can't rekindle old relationships. You know, a lot of these people got so caught up in their own lives that they let golden friendships, beautiful friendships, slip away and slip by over the years. And there were a lot of deep regrets about not giving friendships the time and the effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they're dying. So that's the fourth regret of the dying. I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. And the fifth one, and the fifth and final one is, I wish that I'd let myself be happier. This is a surprisingly common one, Bronnie writes. Many people did not realize until the end that happiness is a choice. They had stayed stuck in old patterns and old habits. The so-called comfort of familiarity overflowed into their emotions as well as their physical lives. Fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within, they longed to laugh properly and have silliness in their life again. Now, this is a huge one, this last one. Happiness is a choice. You get to choose whether you want to be happy in this moment. Don't let your past dictate your future or your present. You get to choose how happy you want to be on a moment-to-moment basis. It's a choice. It's an absolute choice. The reason why so many people get stuck in this pattern, this cycle of unhappiness, depression, is because they allow their past to dictate their present. No matter what's going on, if you have at least your basic needs met, then you can choose to be happy. You can select happiness over unhappiness, and you can truly live your life. It's huge. I wish I'd let myself be happier. The fifth most common regret of the dying. So I say these five, to share with you that you don't have to live with regret. This wisdom is here. This woman recorded it in a book. These are the top five regrets of the dying. Number one, I wish I'd lived a life true to myself. Number two, I wish I hadn't worked so hard. Number three, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Number four, I wish I'd stayed in touch with my friends. And number five, I wish that I had let myself be happier. You know, of all these regrets, the one that I reflect on probably most often is number one. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. You know, it's when I look back on my own life, I want to look back and be grateful for having honored my dreams. I don't want to look back on a long list of unfulfilled dreams, thinking about how I shoulda, or I woulda, or I coulda. but never did? Most people don't even honor half their dreams, let alone all of them. And then they end up going to their deathbed, to their grave, knowing that it was their own decisions or indecisions that determined a destiny bursting at the seams with unfulfilled dreams. The bottom line here is this: you are the author of your own destiny. So write the story you want to live, regardless of how fictional it may or may not sound to someone else. Live a life that's true to you. Dream big and don't settle for anything less than you are capable of. And don't get to the end of your life only to realize that you never truly lived it. It's Dean. Listen, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast. If you found this episode inspiring, or if anything else you've heard on the show has helped you or made an impact on your life in any way, I'd really appreciate it if you showed me a little love with a quick review over on iTunes or on whichever podcast platform you tune into the show on. Every single review helps us reach and inspire more people to live like they give a damn. Listen, if you've got self-help questions of your own that you'd like me to answer live on the podcast, hit me up over at meaningfulhq.com. You can submit them over on the contact page, or you can just shoot your questions directly to me at questions@deanbakkari.com. Thanks again so much for subscribing, sharing, and tuning into the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's because of you and tens of thousands of other listeners from around the world tuning in every single week, week after week, day after day, that we are able to continue creating content to help you crush it and make an impact in your life and at work. So thank you for being part of this and continuing to share the podcast with your friends, your family, and anyone else you think it could help. Until next time, this is Dean Bakkari telling you to go out there every single day and live like you give a damn.